What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. This podcast is sponsored by OnTheVolleyApparel.com. You can go there and you get hoodies, tanks, tees, and sweatshirts with hip-hop soccer style emblems on the front of them. They have some dope ones there. They have a Tribe Called Quest one. They got the OTV joints. They got a lot of good ones. I've worn them. People are like, yo, where'd you get that? And I tell them to go to OnTheVolleyApparel.com. OnTheVolleyApparel.com. And use my promo code ComicRant. You get a 20% discount. Now, the podcast this week is a little late because I kind of wanted to wait for a Champions League, which was Tuesday and Wednesday. Watch some of those games and incorporate the results in this episode. So trying to figure out, what do I go first? Let's just run through some of the league games that happened last week really fast. And then we'll get to, let's do Champions League first. Let's do that. So there's a lot of games. Didn't watch all of them. Plus, something weird is going on where I didn't know that Fox no longer does the Champions League games. And I was searching for it when they came on. I searched everywhere, and I went to BNTV, I went to NBC Sports. Fox didn't have them. And then I never ultimately found one of the games live. I had to go to this website and watch the games there afterwards, kind of illegally. But I don't know. So, but then afterwards, I found out that TNT has the games. But I also heard the coverage is not that great. And you don't have like your choice of game that you can watch. You just have to watch what they feed you. So it's like when you're a kid, sometimes you go home, your mom would cook, and it'd be a great meal. And you're like, oh, I love this meal today. But then sometimes you come home and it's cabbage, and you got to eat the cabbage. So TNT was serving cabbage on some of the days, and you just had to just take that or starve, from what I hear. So I should look into it more and see how they got the games, how Fox lost them, and what are they doing with their football. Because I'm used to seeing the games on Fox. Like, I could go online, and Fox would give you a choice of the games you'd want to watch. I could simulcast. I could simultaneously watch three games at the same time if I wanted. And now, from what I hear, well, I'll go to the TNT thing online and see if they allow you to do that before I shit on it. But if I go there and you can't, then I will definitely be shitting on it. So let's go. This podcast probably won't be that long anyway, but let's get into it. So a lot of happy things happened in the Premiership this week. And one of those happy things, one of the most beautiful things that happened in the Premiership last weekend, was Liverpool whooping some Tottenham ass. Oh, I just love to see Tottenham lose. And even though it's bad math, Liverpool winning keeps them points ahead of us. And we probably need them, as a Man U fan, for them to tie or to lose to Tottenham to keep them close to the pack. It's just, there's just nothing sweeter than a Tottenham loss. And Tottenham lost to Liverpool last weekend. And what's going on at Tottenham? Because they lost to Watford the week before. They lost to Liverpool. And in Champions League this week against Inter Milan, a team I would think that they could beat, they lost by the same score, I think, that they lost to Liverpool. I think they lost to if I go to the Champions League scores and I look up Inter Tottenham, 2-1. 2-1. So, and I think it kind of happened the same way. I think Tottenham had the lead first because in the Inter game, Eriksen scored off that deflected shot. And I think in the Liverpool game, what happened in the Liverpool game? Let me play a clip of this thing to see who scored first. For some reason, this thing is making me watch a commercial. and I have YouTube Red, so that's weird. Now I gotta wait for this thing just to find out. I should just go through premiership.com. Let's just go to the Premier League.com. Should just click on the results button from and go to the game. And Spurs Liverpool, click that and see. Yep. Tottenham scored first. Nah, Liverpool scored first. So it wasn't like a twin loss. They didn't lose the same way they lost to Liverpool, the same way they lost to Inter Milan. But the bottom line is Spurs is on a hot losing streak. Nobody can lose like them right now. And they'll lose anywhere. They'll lose at Wembley. They'll lose at your grounds. They'll lose in the Premiership. They'll lose in the Champions League. You face them and they'll lose. They don't give a fuck. So I don't know what's going on. Like, the excuse the analysts were making for the Tottenham losing to Liverpool is that the players look tired. And Liverpool always comes through intense anyway. So I don't know if that was Liverpool making them look tired, or they are really tired. And people were saying it's because of the World Cup, they're tired. But a lot of teams, every top team, Liverpool, Man City, their players were in the World Cup. So I don't think a team looking tired is an excuse. And both teams should have played tired then, you know? But Liverpool didn't. Liverpool got in that ass. Liverpool were awake, wide awake. They were ready for that game. So I don't know if tired is a good excuse. Not sure about that. But Spurs lost, man. They lost. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So they going to have to get their shit together. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's pretty wonderful. Pretty wonderful. And Man City Fulham game. Well, before I do the Man City Fulham game. So I won't even do all the games in the Premiership. I'll just do the ones I saw. So this weekend, like some of you listened to the podcast before, know that sometimes I do the podcast with a guy named Neil Chakravarty. And Neil Chakravarty is a San Diego comic who is a Chelsea fan. And I don't hold the fact that he's a Chelsea fan against him. The fact that he's a Chelsea fan should be enough source of pain in his life. So that's why I don't hold it against him. But I was in San Diego because I was doing Kaboo. It's a big music festival. They had so many guests, Nine Inch Nails, Foo Fighters, Katy Perry, Robert Plant, Nerd. So, and I was on a show called Judd Apatow and Friends, and performing on Sunday. So I wanted to go up there, take that in, live some life, enjoy myself. And Neil always talks about this bar in San Diego that is like a supporters bar, you know, for people with Chelsea syndrome. You can go there and hold hands and watch your team not win the league together, you know, and there's, you know, and just, you know, hand each other's your football scarf so you can cry. This is a support group for Chelsea fans, basically. You know, just like, you know, one of those groups where, you know, there's a loss and, you know, you share the same bad thing in common. So you go there to help each other. So I went to this pub with Neil, met him like, you know, he picked me up and we went there 7 a.m. and it was pretty great. Chelsea fans, you're dope. You're kind of dope, man. I give you a props. I had fun. The first game we watched was Chelsea versus, who did Chelsea play again? Tell you in a second. It's been a long week. Memory's not that great anyway. Chelsea versus Cardiff, and Chelsea won it 4-1. And it was just fun. The bar, the atmosphere, the fans there looked like they went to Chelsea fan school. Like they know all the songs. They jump, they sing, they act as if they're actually at the game. So they give you like the game feel from the bar. Like they're singing, you know, it was just as close to an English football bar as you're gonna get when you're not at the English football bar. The beauty of the game is that Cardiff scored first, so it was good to see Neil down a little bit and to get to the bar and see that, because we didn't get there at the beginning of the game, but you know. Cardiff scored first, and then I think before the half, Hazard scored and tied it up. But the moments with Cardiff leading was beautiful. But then Hazard scores, and the fans start singing, and they're a little annoying, but it's good to see like good energy for something. So I just really appreciate it, even though it was some Chelsea shit. So that was good. And then Pedro got a deflection, or Hazard got another deflection before the end of the first half. So then Chelsea went up. They went in halftime up 2-1 against Cardiff. So, and again, Chelsea fans in the bar, the supporters started singing and chanting. And I'm like, so is this going to happen every time? And I recorded some of it. I put it up on my Instagram. It's gone now because it's been almost a week now. But yeah. So it was fun. But Chelsea came back in this game, you know, and they made some subs. Willian was out there, did his thing. He caused a penalty and scored a goal when he came out, you know. Then Neil starts cheering when Willian scores and singing the Willian song. And I'm like, you don't even like Willian. You don't even think he's that good. Why? You can't sing the song. You cannot sing the Willian song, bro. But, just like a true bandwagoner, he sang that song as if he'd written it himself. So, good shit, Neil. True fan. But then, yeah. So, William came on the field, earned a penalty. Hazard takes a penalty, scores it, gets the hat trick. Great start for the season for him. I think that's at least his fifth goal. Scored 3 goals in this game. And then, like I said before, William wrapped it up with a screamer, top right-hand corner. Cleaned all the dirt out of the goalkeeper's fingernails. And, yeah. So, that was that game. But it was a great experience. And then the beauty of it is it happened to be the week where the Man U game was going to come on right after the Chelsea game. So, I stayed in the bar to watch the Man U game, and slowly but surely, you know, the bar went from blue to red, and you know, start seeing all these Man U jerseys come in the bar, and I was like, this is a color of a bar I can deal with. I like this color, you know. Blue is too blue, but red in a bar is the shit. So Man U fans start rolling in as the Chelsea fans leave, and they sit around. I'm just like excited, you know, because I want to see like the Man U supporters cheer for their team in this bar. I said, this is going to be amazing. They're going to be loud and raucous and sing all the songs like the Chelsea fans just did in the previous game. And no, there was nothing like that. It's as if no one knew each other. Everybody sat at their individual tables, ate their English breakfasts, and watched the game. And they cheered if something happened, but there was no continuous singing, no continuous chants. I don't think they even knew any. They just had the jerseys. They knew they were Man U fans, and they came to watch the game there because they didn't want to watch it home alone, or because the person they love at home wouldn't allow them to put on a soccer game in the house. So they came to the bar to eat breakfast and watch the games there. But it just wasn't... the Man U fans at the Shakespeare Pub are not as big as fans. It pains me to say it, as the Chelsea fans are. The Chelsea fans are into the total culture of Chelsea. The Man U fans, you're there, you're watching the game, you're cheering, but you definitely got to step up your game. Like, if there's a Chelsea Man U game and they're playing each other, the Man U might win the game, but the Man U fans will lose to the Chelsea fans. So I'm just saying, Man U fans in San Diego, you got to learn some chants, bro. You all got to learn some chants. Get together, have chant practice, and be better. Because even though we won the game, it, you know, when I compare Chelsea fans to Man U fans, we lost that match. And speaking of the match, it's a weird match because it's 2 weeks in a row where these bumblebee-looking Watford, we played a team that came out strong on us, and this bumblebee-striped Watford team came out strong on us, but we got the first goal off a cross from Young, and Lukaku puts it off kind of off his hip. Is that a real goal? I'm not sure if that's qualified as a real goal. They touched him last. He was in the vicinity. He kind of distracted the goalkeeper, making him second guess himself. And the ball just went off like the D'Angelo part of Lukaku's hip. Remember when D'Angelo was a star and he was in shape and he had that lower muscle in between his hip and his stomach that all the girls were raving about? That's the part of Lukaku's body that the ball came off and went into the net. I've never seen anybody use that to score before. But yeah, then Man U goes up one. And a shout out to Fellaini for just heading that ball back in across the goal and being starting second game in a row and just being an influence, positive influence in this game. And one thing I did learn from the fans at this bar, I was like, everybody that's a Man U fan is not a big Fellaini fan. There was one guy, he was shitting on Fellaini when Fellaini made mistakes, which is after he had influenced both of Man U's goals. He's like, fucking Fellaini, man. I can't believe he made that bad pass. Like, Fellaini might have made two mistakes the entire game, and they didn't cost us anything. But what he did do was give us two goals. And this guy was just so anti-Fellaini, it didn't matter what positive Fellaini did. And that's the life he has to live as a Man U player. Like, people just are not 100% feeling Fellaini. But I think he's really good. I think he's great to start. It's what this team needs. It helps Pogba go forward. And Mourinho feels better defensively. I don't know why he didn't do this sooner. And it's sending the team in the right direction. And we still need more cohesion on offense because it's not 100% there. You know, like the Lukaku goal off his D'Angelo bone, I'll take it, but we need to score better goals than that. But it's great to see Fellaini out there soaring, jumping up in the air, like getting the balls back in the trouble area. He did that in the second goal with Smalling. Smalling chested that ball from Fellaini and then waited like for a lifetime for it to float down like a feather to foot level where he could just whiplash that shit into the back of the net. You know, when you saw Smalling score that goal, you're like, do we have a new player? Who's a guy that scored that type of goal? And then in the replay, they show you that it was Smalling. You're like, oh shit, Smalling can do that. So Smalling's out there acquitting himself, you know, letting Mourinho know, yo, I should be here. Stop trying to buy somebody. Stop trying to buy a defender. I was a part of the second best defense in the league last year. Don't try to buy somebody when I can score. You know, you probably cost me my spot on the English team. I'm a great anticipator. I'm a great defender. And as a matter of fact, Smalling had a good game next to Lindelof in the Champions League game yesterday. I'll talk about the Champions League game now, too. Maybe that's how I'll do this. I'm figuring this episode out as I go along. Man, you're in that Champions League game, like Young Boys. I want to make sure. It's a Swiss team. We played Young Boys. That is just such a funny. Man United versus Young Boys. Man versus Young Boys. Not creepy at all. Not creepy sounding. Not a creepy sounding matchup. Man United versus Young Boys. First of all, Young Boys came out there like men. They have some strong ass players on this fucking team, and they will put you up their bodies on you. They will bump you. They will tackle the shit out of you legally. Like, they will sweat the shit out of you. They act like every man you play had the ball. The Young Boys acted like they just bought that dude a drink in the club and they want to get the phone number. And a lot of times they were successful in getting the phone number off the Man U players. And it like we won on finishing quality. Like Pogba scored our first goal in the first half on a beautiful strike and a good combo. I think it was with Rashford or Martial. Might have been Martial. Let me kind of look at this video. But like that's the only way we won this on quality, because in the beginning of this game, Young Boys was all up in that man ass. They really got to us. They harassed us. I think they won most of the 50-50s. And yeah, man, they just really, they were aggressive, you know? They took shots. They had De Gea diving all over the fucking place and sticking his hand out, trying to keep the balls out the net. It's just, yeah, man. They had De Gea out there like a father trying to keep his daughter off the pole. Yeah, man. They had him out there guarding that shit. But somehow, through professionality, and we did show drive and determination, but I just feel like Young Boys were. And if they had more class and more finishing, we would be in trouble. Like Young Boys is the winner of the Swiss League last year. You know, they haven't won it either in a while or ever, but this is the team that got them over the top and they won the Swiss League. And they have some players. And they came to play. They knew they was coming to play Man U. They were at home. And they really tried to put it on us, man. They really tried to take this game. And the last thing we needed was a loss, you know? And here goes the Pogba goal. Boom. Top left-hand corner. Top shelf. Around the goalkeeper. Above the goalkeeper. The only thing that stopped that ball was the back of the net. Yep, and we got the goal. And we went up one with 35 minutes in the 34th minute of a game that we weren't looking good at. Like they let us press them and then they would break on us. And they got this one player. I gotta find his name. It's something. And he played, he's only 23 years old. He played in the Premiership before, I think for Newcastle. And that motherfucker, like, would stiff arm any player from Man U that tried to tackle him off the ball, like to the and to the ground. Like I've only seen running backs get rid of Mbabu. I've only seen running backs get rid of tacklers like that in the NFL. The way Mbabu just he embarrassed Fred a few times. Like, yeah, he had Fred out there looking like his job security was at stake. And I wonder really what's going to happen with Fred. Like Fred is like, I think he has capability, but he looks off pace. Like he always like he's a step behind. He's determined, and you can still see that he's trying to prove himself as opposed to playing like a player that knows he belongs on this team in the Premiership and also in the Champions League. Like he doesn't play cool. Like he doesn't play secure. He's like the guy. He looks like he didn't train. So what I think is he just needs to keep playing and get used to the intensity of the Premiership, and he'll be fine. I think Martial had a good game in Manu's 3-1 wing of Young Boys. Like, there were definitely a lot of flashes of, like, brilliance. I think the problem with Martial and Rashford, who started this game, is finishing passing in the final third has to be crisper, better, more accurate, like, and decision-making at critical moments, man. You just gotta be better at closing. Always be closing. Whether it's the pass to the guy that's gonna score or for the shot on goal that's gonna put the ball in the back of the net. Like, they need work in those areas for sure. And but, you know, overall we won. Somehow we won. You know, we had three quality moments. And we won, even though Martial's goal was deflected. I'll take it. And Pogba scored 2. So, hope that shuts up the old ex-Manu players who says he has to show more. Because apparently winning a World Cup is not good enough anymore. And even though he's won titles at Juventus and been to the Champions League final with Juventus and won a Europa League for Man U. It's crazy. It's crazy what people are saying these days. So Man U won in the league. We've won 3 in a row. We're on a hot winning streak, which is the opposite of Spurs' hot losing streak. So that's great. Whom else? I'm just going to jump around. I talked about Liverpool beating Spurs, and then I talked about Man U beating Watford, and I went from that to Man U playing in the Champions League. So I'm on the Champions League screen. So I'm going to go from Liverpool's game against PSG, which to me and to everyone, like, Liverpool is the biggest, most immaculate, outstanding matchup of this group this week in the Champions League. Liverpool versus PSG. Like, PSG has Mbappe, Neymar, Cavani, and a bunch of host of other, like, great players. And Liverpool, they have Mane, Salah, Firmino. They went to the Champions League final last year, and their first game is against PSG. That's like, that would have been enough of a meal. You know what I mean? That's steak. That's quality Kobe beef right there. And, you know, to be able to witness that. And Liverpool, man, they couldn't have been trained better for this game. They just came out and handled their motherfucking business. They just came out and they just dominated and they were intense and they made PSG feel like we don't belong. You don't belong in this Champions League. Names or no names. Like, you know how many times Neymar got the ball and just couldn't do anything with it? I've never seen, like, Neymar just, like, legally without being fouled, like just fucked with like that. Like, there was this one early tackle on Neymar by Milner that was legal. And it was just like, boom, this is how the rest of this night is going to be for you, Neymar. You ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be on you. My man's in them is going to be on you. And none of your turns are going to work. None of your spin moves. None of that fanciness. And we will not foul you. And it was just like, they was just in everybody's ass like that. They wouldn't let PSG get nothing going at all. It was like total domination. And to the point where Sturridge scores. Sturridge, starting a game for Liverpool, a player that was on the outs, he scores. That's how good Liverpool was doing. Sturridge scored. And then Liverpool gets a second goal when somebody, but not, I think, tackled Wijnaldum in the box. Like, uh-oh, don't step there, but not because you're going to trip Wijnaldum and he's going to go down. He embellished a little bit, but you did step right on his corns. I mean, what do you expect him to do? He's a professional soccer player. He's in the box. He's like, thank you. Now I'll crumple to the floor and wait for the ref to blow his whistle. And we'll just take this up from the spot penalty spot. And that's exactly what happened. And boom, penal. Penal. It's like not much you could do. And then Milner, who's having a game and has scored like 9 of his last probably 10 penalties for Liverpool, goes up to the spot and boom, lower right-hand corner. And this guy just can take penals, man. Celebrations aren't that great after he scores a penal, but that's a really professional lower right-hand corner pool shot. Pool shark, that ball in the back of the net. Keeper dived the right way, but that ball was perfectly shaved around his outstretched arms. It's almost like a barber doing somebody's hairline. It's just perfect. You're like, you tip the barber if he did your hairline the way Milner curved that ball in the back of the net. And then Liverpool are up 2-0. And they've been dominating PSG. And you're like, this is unbelievable. How could they be dominating them like that? But then before the end of the half, PSG pulled one back, like out of nowhere, like getting hit by a Mack truck style. Like, you're like, after all that hard work, just one gust of wind and boom, you just, everything, it's 2-1, it's a game. And then Liverpool started creating other chances. There was one goal that Salah put in the net, but didn't count because I think it was Sturridge had like took a shot or the ball ran towards him and keeper kind of held onto it. But Sturridge legally stepped on, stood on the goalkeeper's nuts. So they had to call that back. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now. I hope this goalkeeper for PSG already has children because Sturridge just castrated him. And like, he'll, like, if he has a kid after that, that kid is Jesus. That's the Lord and Savior coming back because, wow, yeah, that is not good. Studs to balls. Not good. And in Liverpool, man, just out there creating opportunities until Salah fucked up, made a bad pass. And then Neymar, who'd been quiet all game, makes a move, dribbles through the middle, passes off to Mbappe. Mbappe gets it. Boom. 2-2. In the 82nd minute, PSG back in it with their quality. And, you know, it's those moments. Like, even when you're losing the game, if you have quality, you just need a shot. It's like the fighter with the knockout punch. He's losing the fight, but don't let that, and you're ahead on points, but don't let that motherfucker catch you once or he will knock you the fuck out. And, yeah, that's what PSG did. They showed their quality. They showed their quality ass. So it's 2-2. It's in the 90th minute. And but Liverpool went for it. They went for it. And Firmino, substitute, didn't start the game. Comes in, chops the ball on a defender in the top of the right side of the box and slides it to the far left. Puts it right past the keeper. Scores it. Pretty amazing goal. And, you know, there goes Liverpool showing their fresh quality. And, you know, Liverpool are growing up, man. They gave up 2 goals, but they came back. They won the game. They beat a good team. And it's championship type shit. So let's see where this goes, Liverpool. Let's see where this goes. Great Champions League game. Let me go back to the Premiership for a second. See if there's any other important games to talk about before I totally switch and just finish this podcast up with the Champions League. In the last podcast, I already talked about like who I thought would win this week in the Premiership. So I don't want to do that again. But Man City, they beat Fulham in the Premiership last weekend, which is good for them. Sturridge scored. I think Sané scored. Sturridge goal. Sturridge is just balling. You know, he's just balling. You know, he's doing his thing. Like, he's been criticized heavily, and he comes back to the league, and he's like, the only way to keep my England spot and to prove to people that I belong on it and that I have quality is to score for Man City. So he's been doing that. He's been doing that. So Man City beat Fulham. I didn't see the game because I wasn't home. I was out. I was at the sports bar. All the games were on. And I just had to perform that weekend. But I heard Man City won, they were kind of sloppy. So I'm not sure if that's true. Might be, might not be. But just looking at some highlights right now. Sané scored the first goal. Wow. Pass intercepted by Fernandinho. Dribbles down the left side of the field. Boom. He just runs onto that like it was his ball. Looks up. Sees Sané. That one of the easiest goals. Once the ball beats the goalkeeper and Sané keeps his concentration, net. And here goes Sterling had an earlier shot where he hit the post, went through the goalkeeper's leg. Sterling's, man, is just great route running, even though they don't call it route running. But when he got that ball, he tried to run and stay in front of the defender. Yeah, ball hit the goalkeeper and the post. But Sterling's having a great start to the season. David Silva scored the second goal. And I just want to see, just to make sure. And this is, again, a decent Fulham team, you know. They ain't out here in this Premiership to be promoted slouches, you know. They've been fighting teams, you know. So this is a solid win. This is one of those teams you could surprise lose to or surprise draw to. But this is Man City. They are the champs. And they were not having it. Still stalling here. Let me see if this Sterling goes. Sterling gets the ball from Fernandinho. Stays strong. Dribbles in the box. Boom. And Sterling, I don't want to say missed a lot of chances, but was involved in a lot of chances. I want to say involved and give him the credit for creating these chances and using his skill. Yeah, Sterling's balling for sure. It's a good fantasy. I don't even know about the fantasy league, so I'm not going to say that. I was just going to make that. It was a good fantasy league player to have. But boom, he gets the ball from Sergio Aguero, scores, he gets a goal. So, Man City 3. Fulham, nothing. Arsenal beat Chelsea. Arsenal beat Newcastle 2-1. Wolves beat Burnley. What the fuck is going on at Burnley? You don't even have the UEFA League anymore. You're knocked out of it. Jesus Christ, Burnley. Like, this is shocking. Eddie Howe, get your mans and them together. I forgot that result. Wasn't aware of it at all. Promoted Wolves beats Burnley. Burnley, who are the Everton of the league last year. when Everton used to finish in the top 10. Wow. West Ham got a win from Everton. They needed that. For sure, Everton lost to West Ham 3-1. Come on, Everton. But, you know, West Ham has a quality. And Pellegrini needed this win. So, good for Pellegrini. And Southampton-Brighton, 2-2. Let's see if there's any. Bournemouth-Leicester. Bournemouth doing their thing. They beat Leicester City 4-2. They was up, I think, 3-0 at one point. At least 2-0. So that's how Leicester's doing without Vardy. And then Leicester got a red card in this game. Let me see. Let me see who got the red in this game. Leicester. Go back. Who got the red card in the Bournemouth? Wes Morgan in the 69th minute. Yeah, this is after Bournemouth have already put three in the net. Ryan Fraser got two. Joshua King, one. So they were three up. So, yeah. Yeah. So what else? So let's go back to Champions League, because I was just talking about Man City. So Man City is in the Champions League. They won the league last year. So you're like, let me go to Man City's group in the Champions League. Champions League. Draw. So Man City. I want to make sure this is the right one. Nah, that's 2017. Fuck out of here, computer. That's not what I asked you. So this is so fucking hilarious. Like, if you were any team in England, and you're in the Champions League, right? And the day of the Champions League draw, I don't care who you are, you would wish. I don't care if you're a fan of any one of these teams, if you're a Liverpool fan, you're a Spurs fan, you're a Man U fan, you're a Man City fan, you would have wanted your dream on the day of the Champions League draw would to be in the group that Man City's in. You're like, how the fuck did such a strong-ass team get in such a easy-ass group? Everybody else is in a tough group, you know? Like, Liverpool had to play PSG. Like, if they had lost on a, you know, this midweek, you'd have been like, that's acceptable. It's PSG. So Man City, they end up in a group with Lyon, Hoffenheim, no disrespect, and Shakhtar Donetsk. You're like, they could beat a Donetsk, they could beat a Hoffenheim, and they damn sure, no disrespect, can beat a Lyon. Right? So, at home, first game, you're the champs of the Premiership. Lyon comes over, and guess what? Man City loses to Lyon. Lyon scores first, and they score second. Man City makes some substitution. They put on Sané. You know, Sané helps create one, but that's it. They lose at home to Lyon. And Lyon was like, they it wasn't a freak win. They did basically what Lyon did. They pretty much did what Young Boys was trying to do to Man U, but but they just had quality finishing. And Man City, especially on their first goal, did not have quality clearing because Delph whiffed on a ball that could have cleared that danger. And I don't blame him. He was running back to cover. The ball comes across him, and I think he was going too fast one way. The ball was going too fast back the other way. It just wasn't against his grain, and he tried to react to it. But trying to react to it makes you look like you whiffed on it, but you have to try. And the goal scorer right behind him put it in the back of the neck. And Fekir, who also scored for Donetsk, for Lyon, had a great game. And he's a midfield creative player that Liverpool was trying to buy, but he failed, I think, the medical. And I see why they would want him, you know. So they just played ball. They just came there and they played ball. They played balled hard. They're respectable. And they took, their offense took the ball from the Man City defense. Shit that Man City does to teams. Like when Man City's attackers attacks the opposing defense with the ball, takes it from them, and then scores. Like when they turn your gun on you. That's what Lyon did to Man City. Like Laporte's fucking around with bad passes back to Fernandinho, and defense is the attacking attackers from Lyon's like, thanks, man. We'll take that. You don't want that? You're not going to protect it? We'll take it. We'll go up 2-0. I think, again, Sterling had another good game and tried hard, but Gabriel Jesus, I don't know why you start him over Aguero, you know? Aguero, when he first came in, Jesus, when he first came in the league, I thought he's very determined. He's a very special young individual. He had that injury, and I don't think he's quite back to where he is going to be yet. You know, so I say B yet. So I it's not that he's playing bad, but he's not playing up to the level I expected. So I expect more from him the more he plays, but it's going to be tough replacing Aguero. They did put Aguero in this game later on, but it was too late. And Depay had another opportunity to put the ball, put Lyon even further ahead. It could have been 3-0, but goalkeeper touched it with the tip of his gloves, man. If you're a goalkeeper, get some thick-ass gloves that make your hands taller. So that if you miss the ball, the glove will make the save. How would you like your gloves? Extra large. Extra fingers. So yeah, man. Shocking loss by Man City to Lyon, a team that's favored to win the league, and they lost. They're favored to win the Champions League. They're in a weak group, and they lost. It's good to see Man City lose something. See other games that I saw in the Champions League. I saw, we covered Tottenham, Inter Milan. We covered that. Dortmund beat Bruges 1-0. Atletico Madrid beat Monaco, as expected, but their gritty, grinded-out type of style and discipline. Real Madrid, Roma, I don't think Real Madrid so far has showed any Ronaldo deficiency. Like, they're just rolling. Like, Bale is on the left side of the field. It's his position. It's the position he became famous in. He scored from there. He scored a beautiful goal. I think he scored a second goal. Isco scored. And they're just rolling, man. It was a weird, for me, weird to see Isco playing in the front three with Modric behind. I'm like, I know Isco can score sometimes. But yeah, I guess if you put him there, he can score. And he scored. And Bale's goal was like a two-touch wonder. He got a pass from Modric. Defense splitting pass, ran onto it at pace, touched it once in the right direction, ran to it, and boom, hard, low, grass cutter. Keeper could not get to it, goal. I think that was Real Madrid's second goal. And to be honest, like just on paper and on grass, Real Madrid is better than Roma, and 3-0 is an accurate assessment if you were just supposed to call this without ever seeing this game. Juventus beat Valencia. It was Ronaldo's first Champions League game as a Juve player, and he got sent off for tapping a guy on the head. So, I mean, the ref should got a red card for giving Ronaldo that red card. That's, yeah. I'm not sure if he saw what happened or heard something. The player didn't even act upset. Ronaldo just kind of sunned him after they collided and the player went down. Ronaldo, like, he's just like a, it wasn't like a fuck you, son, or just like, it just even wasn't offensive. So I don't think it'll be rescinded. I just read this thing about how Champions League never rescinds red cards. Or their appeal system is not that great, so he'll have to serve. It's just a one-game ban, but these are important games. They're all important games. Ask Man City. Now all their games are important in that shit group. So, especially when, like, Man City are behind in their group because Shakhtar Donetsk and Hoffenheim tied. Lyon won. They beat Man City. So Man City's at the bottom of their group. They're at the baby bottom of their group. They're at the ass of their group. Like they're the last man on the centipede. Like when the other team shit, it goes through Man City's mouth and out Man City's ass. Sorry to use a gross centipede. Like which where in the centipede would you want to be? The head, the middle, or the back? The human centipede, that is. So yeah. Let me see what else games. So Real Madrid handled their business. Bayern won. They beat Benfica 2-0. They handled theirs. And Napoli 0-0 against Red Star Belgrade. I don't think Natalie. We'll just have to watch Napoli to see how are they going to perform this year after losing Sarri. How are they going to perform in the Italian League and in the Champions League? Are they going to is they lost some players? One of them went with Sarri to Chelsea. So let's see. Let's see how they survive their Sarri deficiency, and I think Jorginho. So that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? That's pretty much it. That's the Champions League and that's the Premiership. If you want to hear what I think about the upcoming games this weekend in the Premiership, you have to listen to the episode before. I don't want to recover that. I'm in La Jolla, staring through the windows, through palm trees at the ocean right now. So I want to get out there and enjoy that. But I thank you for listening. Get me on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic, on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. Subscribe to this thing on SoundCloud. You can listen to it at allthingscomedy.com. And thanks everybody that came out to the show at the store. There was an allthingscomedy.com show at the store this week. I was on it with Bill Burr, Christina Pazinski, Tom Segura, the homie. I ain't seen Tom in a minute. I haven't seen them both in a minute. I haven't seen them in two children. That's how long I haven't seen them. They have two childs now. I haven't seen both of them in two children. Well, one children. I've seen Tom since the first children, but I haven't seen them since they both got pregnant and had the second one. So, yeah. But, yeah. So listen up next week, and then if you ever want to go to what's the name of that website, CD Baby, or iTunes, or where's the other places you could buy my album? Any place you could buy an album, you can purchase 100% Half-Assed. That is my comedy album produced by Conan. It's available there. Boom. See you next week. Premiership is going to be fun. I'm in La Jolla this weekend. I'm doing the La Jolla Comedy Store. That's on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. So I'm going to go back to the Shakespeare Pub and watch games there. It was fun. And I just happened to be here again this weekend. So I'm going to go back there. So shout out to everybody there. There was a waitress there. She was the only one there in a packed restaurant full of people chanting, and she never lost her cool. She served everybody. She was a lady and a gentleman. She just was not like, I'm the only one here. I'm miserable. Fuck everybody. She didn't have that attitude. She was a pearl under pressure. And I forgot her name. Chelsea song. The Chelsea fans actually made up a chant on the spot to salute her play in the bar that day. So, yeah, that's how good she was. I forgot her name, I'll just say it, but I'm going back to that bar. For sure. So, one.